Lots going on today. Critical fire weather again, high winds, really low humidity today into tomorrow. And of course, Inauguration Day, we've seen the Bidens welcome the Trumps to the White House. Capitol is starting to fill up with people inside events for the swearing in at 9 our time because it's so cold there in D.C. Let's get you the very latest live.
CBS News special report. President-elect Trump and the incoming First Lady have just left the White House where they had tea with the Bidens. Their next official stop, the Capitol Rotunda, for the first indoor inauguration in 40 years because of the cold. CBS's Nancy Cordes.
There are about 800 seats that have been crammed into the rotunda for the VVIPs. We're talking about family members, cabinet picks, Supreme Court members.
We just learned Mr. Trump plans to crack down on illegal immigration by ending birthright citizenship. Correspondent Margaret Brennan.
The Constitution saying those born on American soil are citizens at birth, regardless of their parents' immigration status. He says no longer the case. That raises a lot of practical questions.
President Biden issued pardons today for Dr. Anthony Fauci and lawmakers on the January 6th committee. Loyola Law's Lori Levinson.
Biden was quite concerned that Trump might have his attorney general go after these individuals.
CBS News special report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
7:32, back with Mike and Vicky, and the attorney general here in California says he is ready to wage several legal battles against what he calls Trump 2.0. We get more from our Craig Figner.
For several months, he's been preparing for the incoming Trump administration. That's what California's attorney general, Rob Bonta, is telling KNX News, preparing for the possibility he'll make good on the promise of immigration raids.
We have the most immigrants in the nation. Our immigrants have made California great. We also support the rule of law in California. Under Trump 1.0, the president had a proclivity to break the law consistently and regularly. He wanted to do what he wanted under a Trump administration 2.0, preparing to hold the Trump administration and Mr. Trump accountable for any violations of the law. Some of the things that he said he will do will break the law, like ending birthright citizenship through an executive order. You cannot do that. It's a constitutional right. Or calling in the National Guard or bringing the military for mass deportations.
During Trump 1.0, Bonta says the state of California sued the Trump administration more than 100 times, he says, prevailing in most of those cases. I'm Craig Figner, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
Well, she has said it's not in her nature to go quietly. So what's going to be next for Kamala Harris and her husband, Doug Emhoff?
Harris, we're told, will take time to decide her next move. She's expected to write books about her time in politics and her interest in food and cooking. Emhoff, the first man to serve as second gentleman, will leave Washington and return to his legal career. CBS News has told the pair have been apartment hunting in New York City. The couple has a home in the Brentwood section of Los Angeles that will serve as their primary residence.
That was Matt Piper. We've told you here there's been talk about a possible run for governor in California in 2026, but Harris hasn't actually said anything about that.
TikTok up and running, but what happens in the future? An announcement came after the president-elect said he planned to pause the ban by executive order on his first day. Trump spoke about the situation during his rally in D.C. last night.
All we're doing is giving them the approval, without which they don't have anything. So I don't know. It sounds like that works. What do you think? Good? I think so. So whether you like TikTok or not, we're going to make a lot of money.
President-elect Trump has spoken to the president of China and also the CEO of TikTok, supposed to be at the inauguration today.
Israel freeing 90 Palestinian prisoners, mostly women and children. Hamas freeing 3 Israeli hostages on the first day of that 6-week ceasefire. Linda Gradstein now from Jerusalem.
The 90 Palestinian prisoners that Israel freed early Monday in the West Bank were met by huge crowds cheering and waving flags. The prisoners said they were held in difficult conditions and mistreated by prison guards. The ceasefire deal calls for Hamas to free 33 Israeli hostages and Israel to release almost 2,000 Palestinian prisoners, including some who murdered Israelis. Hamas freed 3 female hostages yesterday who reunited with their families and are in stable condition.
Inauguration Day for the president-elect Donald Trump gets sworn in later this morning. We're hearing now about the executive orders he's going to be issuing. And we talked earlier with CBS News congressional correspondent Scott McFarlane about all of this and also these last-minute pardons issued by President Biden.
They're getting mixed reaction even from the recipients. You know, Benny Thompson, the chairman of the House January 6th Select Committee, who's among those getting this preemptive pardon, had told me he'll take it. That Trump has threatened to lock people up. He takes Trump at his word, having investigated Trump, and that he's keen on getting one. Capitol Police Officer Harry Dunn, who testified before the committee and helped them with their investigation, told me it's unfortunate that it's necessary, but he believes it is necessary, that Trump has pledged retribution. But I've had a couple different staffers with the January 6th committee who'd rather remain nameless right now say they don't want it, that it sends a bad message, that nothing criminal happened, and that these preemptive pardons fuel the baseless claims that these investigators broke the law.
So Biden flexing what? Executive power, which exactly is the game plan for President Trump, right? This afternoon, he's got that long stack of executive orders. So what do we expect to be in those?
Dozens and dozens of them. Let's start off with the border ones, Mike. A remain in Mexico policy goes into effect with an executive order he has planned. It means if you're waiting for an asylum claim, you stay south of the border while that claim is pending. There would be a end of the policy of catch and release for undocumented migrants, though I think the Biden administration would say that catch and release is more of a political phrase than a literal phrase. I'm also waiting for federal workforce executive orders today, making it easier for the Trump administration to fire civil servants and ending all diversity, equity, and inclusion programs in the federal government. And it is noteworthy that would be happening on the King holiday.
What do we know, if anything, additional about Trump's planned trip to Los Angeles this week?
Yeah, that's a first out of the gate trip, is to go toward the damage or the response and the rescue efforts in Southern California. I don't think there's a pinpoint location yet as to where he's coming, but he is trying to make a statement here that the federal government wants to be involved with this response. And it's a message I think he wants to send broadly, not just to California, because his allies on Capitol Hill have continued through this weekend saying that federal aid is going to come with strings attached for fire response, because they believe it was political decisions that helped fuel this disaster. Now, that is a controversial point of view in Washington and elsewhere. President-elect Trump may speak to that when he gets there later this week.
Remind us of the makeup of Congress, because Donald Trump is coming in saying, I've got this huge mandate. I won the popular vote this time, but it is a slim majority that he's got for a lot of the stuff he wants to do.
It's a brutally slim majority in the U.S. House, thanks in no small part to the suburban Los Angeles congressional races that flipped a few seats from red to blue this cycle. The same ticket that Donald Trump won on, a bunch of Democrats in California ousted a bunch of Republicans in California in the U.S. House. He's going to have one or two votes to spare in the U.S. House. And at this moment in time, with House members in particular, a one or two vote margin is basically no margin. It's going to be very sticky getting even the most popular of Trump ideas through the Republican House.
That is CBS News congressional correspondent Scott McFarlane. Coming up, we've got these powerful winds on the way yet again. Power could be cut and some areas will be off limits to parking. And egg prices, well, they're going even higher. All that and more coming up as 20 minutes of nonstop news continues. Brought to you by Oseron Law, the Injured Workers Hotline.
Let's talk about these winds. We've got another one of those particularly dangerous situation warnings as we go into tomorrow. Winds are really going to kick up this afternoon and then go all the way through tomorrow. Let's go to John Baird. He's out in Altadena. They've got a news conference coming up on the Eden Fire later this morning. John?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, in the last 10 minutes, I made my way over from Altadena. I'm here at the Rose Bowl where they're set up for the news conference that's going to start at 8 o'clock today for an update on the Eaton Fire. But this morning, I've been driving around some of the neighborhoods in the evacuation zone and talking to people about the fire and the coming winds. We're supposed to get really extreme winds again, fire weather, extreme fire weather conditions. And, you know, people are worried about it. I was talking to one man who has lived in his house for 56 years. He said he and his neighbors stayed behind when the flames were roaring through their neighborhood to protect their homes. He said they were able to do so. And so the three or four of you were just trying to fight off for all the houses?
All the homes.
Did you lose any?
We didn't lose not one. So everything is still standing still.
So his home is okay, and his neighbors right around him are okay. But down the block, there are plenty of them that are just devastated. But he's going to stick around today, even though we're supposed to have the same kinds of conditions, the strong winds, the low humidity, all this dry brush is still out there that we had when these fires first broke out 13 days ago. He's going to stick it out and try and save his home again if necessary.
The power is going out to some people. Just a few so far. This is Edison just looking at their site right now. 106 customers out, most of them in L.A. County, some in Riverside County. But about 250,000 are on notice that their power could be cut.
Got the red flag parking restrictions again, L.A., Pasadena this morning. Starts at 8. If you park on the restricted roads, they can tow you out of there. They've got the online maps. They got the signs posted in effect till 6 p.m. tomorrow.
Pete Demetrio talking about efforts to bring supplies to those who lost everything in the fires. A lot of people chipping in on this.
At a parking lot off of Hudson Street in Pasadena, four box trucks were getting filled by a parade of cars that came from as far away as Fresno, bringing in supplies that people will need as they get back on their feet. Rowan Van Sleeve, president of Hope the Mission, said the donations are going through a process to make them more targeted and effective than just distributing them.
So what we're doing is we're giving people store credit at our thrift stores so they can get what they need. We're giving direct financial assistance to fire victims, and we're also giving to partner agencies who are running out of urgent supplies. And then finally, we're giving some of the goods that come directly to fire victims. So we're trying to hit it from all angles.
Van Sleeve says diapers, formula, hygiene products are the most in demand, but they're also accepting gently used clothing because they are taking it to a sorting location which will refine what they have available and then distribute it effectively at their Pasadena and North Hills locations to those with the greatest need. In Pasadena, I'm Pete Demetrio, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
We heard about a couple people pretending to be firefighters. Even two people with the fake media credentials got arrested behind the fire lines. Now things have taken another twist. It's a fake fire truck. Over the weekend, LAPD noticed a truck that seemed a little off to them. It was trying to get into the area, so they kind of pulled it over. There were people dressed as firefighters in there. They had helmets, they had radios, they had shirts and jackets. They said they were from the Roaring River Fire Department up in Oregon. That department doesn't exist. They had bought the truck at an auction, put the name on it, so they got arrested. Truck was impounded. Sheriff's office later saying, yeah, they admitted also to being inside that evacuation zone. They'd made it in the day before, and they were trying to get back in.
Architects, builders, fire safety specialists all around the world looking at the images from the fires, trying to explain why some homes survive practically unscathed while others burn to the ground. Here's Julie Walker.
Photos and videos of burned buildings in Los Angeles versus those still standing have been all over. Many experts stress luck is a major factor in burning. Wind can make a split-second 180-degree turn and head to someone else's house, taking that fire with it. But builders and architects stress modern techniques and materials dramatically reduce fire risk. Stucco, a cement material, is a common exterior for Southern California homes, and it's fire resistant. Double pane windows slow heat coming from the burning building next door, and simpler roof lines can allow red hot embers to slide off.
Getting closer to Donald Trump taking the oath of office, and we talked about it this morning, just the tone of the new administration with Republican strategist Rena Shaw. She was going to go to the inauguration, but that was when it was going to be outside, so her ticket is no longer valid.
I'll be watching on a screen like everybody else, and definitely be watching with great interest because I've never seen a presidential inauguration indoors. I wasn't born when the last one happened in 85.
So let's talk about these executive orders that he says he's going to sign as we go through the day. How many of those are, you know, in the clear and good to go? How many of those are going to face what they often do when a president tries to do things on his own? You know, legal, logistical problems?
Well, I think this Trump transition has been pretty ahistorical in the way that they've been so prepared and so efficient, if I must say, from day one. From the time that he won till now, we know that there have been numerous lawyers in the background helping him prepare what are these top priorities that he wants to get done on day one. Some of them are quite interesting. One even includes cryptocurrency. I happened to be out and about around the town yesterday and happened to look over the shoulder of a prominent Republican who, on their phone, something related to cryptocurrency in that top 10 priorities. So it's been an interesting weekend, if I must say. As an insider, I am a bit gleeful, as you must hear my voice, about what's to come. Because I think turning the page on 4 years of federal government leadership under Democrats really will feel like a sharp turn for much of the country as we see Trump and Vance promulgate what their campaign promises were in this next week.
So you said you're gleeful, but as you indicated, this is a sharp turn. There is concern about harsh measures from Donald Trump out of the gate and a tone for his administration. Dave Chappelle, I don't know if you caught that, his monologue on SNL over the weekend, the clip of that, asking really for empathy, saying no matter Republican or Democrat, all people are counting on you, Donald Trump. Do you think his tone will change from perhaps the past?
Well, I must say, there's glee in my voice because I'm always excited at the start of something new. And yes, I've been a lifelong Republican registered in the party, but I didn't vote for Donald Trump, whether it was 2016 or 2020 or even this past go round. I didn't feel like he's the right person for the job. I have great concerns about his personal temperament and the way in which he operates. It's famously known around town that he really focuses on what's right in front of him. If somebody's got his attention, he focuses on that for the next 15 minutes and becomes laser focused with what he just heard. Is that a good thing for somebody that we're expecting to lead us into what will be a very pivotal time for our country? You know, coming out of the pandemic, Biden told us to trust him. What I saw over the past year is a number of my fellow Americans say, I don't want to vote for Trump, but I can't vote for Biden anymore. And so what I am now more than any other emotion is hopeful, hopeful for our country. I may not like Donald Trump as a person. I may not think he's the best person to lead the Republicans, but it is what it is. And what I want to do by rooting for his success as the president is root for the success of our country and hope that this administration can do things differently than Trump 1.0 in this 2.0 era now has to address some of the most pressing concerns here at home first, not just abroad.
That is Republican strategist Rena Shaw. 750.
Let's bring in our chief correspondent, Charles Feldman, now, because we're going to kind of preview what we're going to be doing as we go into some of the inauguration coverage. We just watched them walk in to the Capitol there, President Trump and President Biden together, and now First Lady Melania Trump is being led in on the
She's
arm
got
of
that
a Marine
hat on.
There. Yeah.
Everybody's talking about the hat.
Yeah, but think how extraordinary this morning is. You have Biden and Trump, who are not exactly friends, together arriving at the Capitol Rotunda, because it's being done indoors because of the weather outside. This just within hours of the time that Biden signs this executive order granting pardons and clemency to a whole bunch of people that he was afraid Donald Trump would go after.
Was on the revenge list. Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, nothing like this has ever happened in American history. So we are all witnesses to, yes, it's always historic when a new president is sworn in, or in this case, I guess it's an old president being re-sworn in. But all the things that are surrounding this make this truly historic and very different. So we will cover, of course, the inauguration, and we will be talking throughout the morning with a bunch of people who have their different thoughts about what is likely to happen in the next 4 years.
And we're seeing the things here, you know, quote unquote, that are normal, that are traditional, you know, the photo ops and the walking in together, stuff we didn't noticeably have 4 years ago.
But, well, but you know, what you see is not, it's not what you get, right? I mean, there's the appearances, but you have to look at the looks that they give everybody and the gestures and things like that and what's going on behind the scenes.
The awkward body language.
Yeah, the awkward body language. On the feed this morning on X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it, POTUS put out this video. And it says, you know, thank you to the people, but it says, I've loved opening doors to the Oval Office wider than ever these past 4 years. I mean, they're drawing lines here.
Oh, yeah. And within, as I alluded to before, Trump has said that shortly after he is sworn in, he is going to be signing literally hundreds of executive orders, basically trying to undo everything that Joe Biden did in his 4 years.
Well, right, and trying is the operative word there.
Trying
because,
is the
I mean, how many
word.
Seconds will it be before their, you know, litigation is filed?
I'm sure they're I'm
it's
sure
already
the lawyers,
written up.
Yeah, I'm sure the lawyers are ready, and a lot of it, some of it would require a constitutional amendment. That's not going to be easy, as we all know. But it nonetheless is a signal from Trump about what he wants to do in his next 4 years.
There's a new sheriff in town.
And Vicki, you were talking about what we are watching at the Capitol Rotunda. And yeah, it's a lot of it is political theater. But it's also important to see who's not there as opposed to who's there, right?
Yeah, conspicuously absent.
I mean, Michelle Obama not going.
Pelosi.
Nancy Pelosi, the former Speaker of the House, not going. And I understand that Barack Obama, while he's there for the swearing in, is not going to go to the luncheon, which normally is what happens.